The BC Liberal government has given Providence Healthcare a grant of $1 million to come up with two business plans for St. Paul's Hospital. One of the plans involves building a brand new hospital near Main and Terminal under a public-private partnership, or P3. We decided to find out more about P3s in Canada and elsewhere, so we've contacted Natalie Mira. She's director of the Ontario Health Coalition. The coalition is campaigning against a number of proposed P3 hospitals in Ontario. Natalie Mira is also the author of a recent report on P3s called Flawed, Failed, and Abandoned. And we've reached her this morning in North Bay, Ontario, where the coalition is organizing a plebiscite against a proposed P3 hospital there. Hello, Natalie.
Hi there.
Now, this is just one of several plebiscites that you're organizing. What kind of response have you had to your efforts so far?
It's been terrific. So a plebiscite is a citizen called vote, like a referendum, but it's actually run by the citizens. We've done one in St. Catharines, and you can actually hear the noise of the campaign office, I think, behind me. We've done one in St. Catharines. 13,000 people voted, and 98% of them voted against the P3 privatization of their hospital. We're in North Bay now. The vote is happening today. There are hundreds of volunteers out all over the community, and they're getting in votes. I think we've got the first 3,000 or 4,000 in right now, and looking forward to the rest of the day.
Now, I want to turn to the report. How many different projects did you examine in the report?
Well, we actually had to cut it down. There is a major report put out by the Canadian Council for Public-Private Partnerships. It's the pro-P3 lobby group. It's the industry lobby group that's trying to win these contracts in order to make profit from the hospitals. And they listed 100 projects across Canada that were P3s, and it's being used to make policymakers think that it's no big deal to bring in P3s. But many of the projects that they were listing were, you know, terribly flawed or had significant problems with them. So we wrote a report that looked at 100 failed, flawed, or abandoned privatized P3s. And the only difficulty in doing that was actually getting the list down to 100.
Now, there are examples from Canada and Australia and the UK. And in Canada, not many of the examples are hospitals, but in the UK they are.
That's right. I think they've done now 169 P3 hospitals in the UK. And they're quite well studied. Evidence from them is quite shocking.
What were some of the consistent problems that came up in hospital after hospital?
Well, the major one clear problem is that the high costs of the P3s have put the hospitals into debt, and significant debt, so that in the first round they had to reduce clinical budgets, sort of suck money out of clinical budgets to the bricks and mortar and to the profit-seeking of the consortiums, the groups of private companies that were taking over, you know, half of the hospital. And then, of course, even having done that to pay the higher cost of the hospital at the beginning, they continued to have to cut costs in the hospital in order to finance ever more fees and additional cost increases from the private sector. And so now they're finding that the P3 hospitals in Britain are much more likely to be in debt than non-P3 hospitals, that they've continued to cut community health services, doctors, nurses, support staff, and hospital beds and programs in order to fund the deficits, which are primarily due to the P3s.
What is the scale of the cost overruns? Because, of course, we're familiar with cost overruns. Anytime there's a public project, there's bound to be some kind of cost overrun. But what is the scale in the P3s?
I think part of the confusion around this issue comes from the fact that there are cost overruns in the construction of any large complex projects. At least that's what our research shows. So large projects, be they done in the private sector or in the public sector, tend to have significant cost overruns. But what they've seen in the P3s is that the cost overruns increase during the negotiation of the deal, as the private sector negotiates more and more things into the contract that they want. And so we've seen cost escalations that are just massive in these P3s. For example, the Brampton P3 hospital in Ontario, the cost increased from $350 million at the outlying business case, so the business case that they put forward at the beginning of the negotiation with the private sector. And by the time they signed the deal, that hospital cost $550 million.
So almost double then.
$200 million increase on a $350 million hospital. Absolutely shocking increase with no explanation at all. And in fact, the size of the hospital during that period actually shrunk. So it's a smaller hospital. Nobody will tell the community how many beds are going to be in that hospital now. And the cost almost doubled.
Now, I was really shocked to read in your report about design hospitals. There's a hospital in Durham in the UK, and some areas of the hospital are unbearably hot. The pharmacy is next to the mortuary and doesn't have a waiting room, so people see bodies go by as they wait for their prescriptions. And then there's large parts of the hospital that have no drinking water because the cold water taps run hot. Is this typical of the scope of the design flaws that you found?
Yes, and in fact, some of them have been worse. Recently, actually just this summer, a story emerged of a hospital in West Leeds in the UK. It's a mental health facility, and it was so shoddily constructed that now they think that they have to tear down the hospital. There was another hospital in the London area where the financier went bankrupt halfway through. So that hospital, they just walked away from it half-built, and that's happened with dozens of P3 schools in the UK, leaving parents scrambling in the middle of summer to move their children onto other school roles. That also happened in the United States with a bunch of P3 schools that the company hit financial problems just before the school year, sold off all the computers and books, and actually tried to convince parents to let the children provide the support services, the cleaning, the phone answering, and so on in the schools in order to reduce their costs. And thankfully, you know, the parents fought back and, you know, refused to do that and forced the company to stop it. But these sorts of problems are epidemic in P3s because, you know, you've turned what was once a public enterprise that was run on a not-for-profit basis into a profit-seeking commercial entity. One hospital, I was shocked at this in the UK, and actually this isn't just one hospital, several hospitals told us that when patients go in, they have reps come in to try and sell them their TV package and their phone package and so on. It's all run for profit in the hospital. And if they refuse to buy the TV package, which is quite pricey, they're subject to an endless loop of TV advertising on the TV screens in front of their beds, and the TVs don't turn off. You can't turn them off.
Like a kind of punishment, then.
Absolutely.
Now, 11 of the 64 Canadian projects that you looked at had actually been abandoned. What kind of reasons led to the projects being shelved?
Cost increases, often a total breakdown between the public not-for-profit part of the service and the for-profit companies as they were negotiating the deals. Sometimes community fight-backs as costs escalated in the deals, or as the secrecy of the commercial deals, turned off citizens. Different things actually caused the cancellation. Some of them the companies pulled out of because they weren't able to get the terms for the deals that they wanted.
In your campaign against P3 hospitals, you've been traveling around with a very large wooden horse. Why a horse?
Well, it's the Trojan horse. So it's it's supposed to be the Trojan horse of hospital privatization, and so it's been brought in as if is a gift. A new hospital is coming as a gift, but hidden in the middle of it is this toxic deal that actually will reduce health services, not increase them. And so it's kind of an apt metaphor, the Trojan horse.
And do you find that people kind of really respond to that metaphor?
Absolutely, and the horse is, absolutely huge. So it gets lots of attention, and there's big signs on it saying the Trojan horse of health privatization and so on. So people really respond to that. And we've done leafleting outside of plant gates and malls and community activities in literally over 50 or 60 now, I think, towns across Ontario, and reached tens of thousands of people through that.
Have there been successes in the fight against P3s in Canada, P3 hospitals?
Well, I think certainly the community fight back has slowed them way down. The intention of our previous government in Ontario was to push through many more projects than they eventually ever got through. And even now, there are no P3 hospitals built in Canada yet. They are constructing the one at Abbotsford, the one in Brampton, the one in Ottawa. So we only have three projects in Canada, and the industry is facing a major fight against them from citizens that are concerned about giving up control over our public assets and our public services and turning them into commercial entities. In every town that we've been to, people, when they learn that this is the plan, are absolutely shocked and appalled and want to stop it. And so it doesn't matter whether the political culture of the town is that they vote Conservative or they vote Liberal or they vote NDP. Here, en masse, thousands of people come out to vote to stop the privatization of our hospitals.
Well, thanks so much for taking time out of your campaign morning this morning in North Bay. Thank you very much, Natalie.
Thank you.
I've been speaking with Natalie Mira. She's director of the Ontario Health Coalition. You can find a copy of her report, which is titled Flawed, Failed, Abandoned, and that's on the Ontario Health Coalition website. And you're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO, at 102.7 FM.